We are in a series of 10-minute sermons. We're going through the Gospel of John, and this is the last week of the 10-minute sermons. And what 10-minute sermons are is we put a time limit on the screen, and I have 10 minutes to get everything I need to say out. And if I don't get it in time, the band comes back up, and they start playing, they cut me off. So the goal is for me to get everything I need to say out before that happens. Before we start, we are in John chapter 10. We're going to be starting in verse 28. Sorry. So if you would, put the 10 minutes up on the screen, and we'll get started. So this week we are starting in a continuation of what Dave talked about last week, our senior minister. Last week he talked about how Jesus is the good shepherd. And I think this scripture, I'm going to reiterate what he talked about last week, describes exactly what he talked about last week, which is in John 10, 11 through 13. It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock with one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to be taken up again." So this scripture brings a picture of Jesus being the good shepherd, and that he has sheep. Some are inside the pen, as it says, and some are outside, but he desires for those people outside the pen to be inside of his pen so that he can lay down his life for them. And he's talking to the Jews at this time, and you can tell that the Jews are kind of confused about this situation, because there's a gap between last week's message and the scripture we're going to talk about this week. There's some sort of time that went on. It doesn't say exactly how long it's been, but you can tell that the Jews have been thinking and chewing on what Jesus has said, because they go right up to him and they ask him, "Hey, are you the Messiah that we've been waiting for like a couple hundred years?" And Jesus answers with this in verse 25. It says, "Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who gives them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands, and I and the Father are one.'" And then it goes on to explain how the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Now, the Jews were so mad because they realized that the voice and the direction that they've been going their entire life was of themselves and not from God. And when Jesus revealed this to them, they did not appreciate it whatsoever, because it goes on to say that they picked up stones to stone him. And the Jews were absolutely so entirely frustrated, because they've been waiting for this Messiah their entire life. They've been waiting for this person who was going to be a descendant of David. But not just a descendant of David, he was going to be greater than David, the great king that everybody raved about. They wanted a king just like David again. A person that was going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The Messiah that they thought were that they wanted to come, they thought was going to come in like a tornado and just rip through all the cities, going from town to town, destroying everybody and taking the Jews and lifting them up to the rightful place that they thought they deserved as the chosen people. But that's not what they got at all. What they got instead was a mirror. They got a good hard look of who they actually were and who they actually are. This sermon is titled "The Unpopular Jesus," because Jesus was by far not the most popular person of that time. He would go in and he was like a mirror. And the reason that people didn't like him is because people do not like seeing who they actually are. People do not like seeing that they've missed the mark in so many different ways. And that leads me to my first point, is that we cannot pick and choose when it comes to Jesus. Have you guys ever looked at a mirror? I'm sure everybody has, but like a true mirror, kind of like this one, where there's no waves in it and it doesn't distort in any single way. kind of like when you look at it, it doesn't have any like zooming or fading features at all. It doesn't smooth over your face. It's basically what you see is what you get. And a lot of people don't like looking in mirrors. And I'm one of those people. I'm not a huge fan of looking in mirrors. And if you ask about 100 people, 75 or more of those people will probably agree that they don't really like looking in mirrors all the time. And the reason is that because people do not like being shown reality. The reason people didn't like Jesus is because if he is the standard for holiness, then we are completely missing the point. Jesus, thank goodness, in the scripture gave us a small hint of what he wanted our relationship with him and the Father to be like. Which leads me to my second point, which is we need to listen to Jesus and follow him. I really like what Jesus said in verse 28. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I like this verse because I think it does a great job of explaining the relationship, what the relationship should be between our God and ourselves. Sheep are very loyal animals. They don't do anything. They don't have anything to say about what they do on their day-to-day life. Most sheep in the United States are owned by someone, and sheep are used for a bunch of different reasons, but for one of the reasons that they are, they're hired out in groups, and they're put in like a big field or a pasture to kind of just maintain the field, to take care of the grass, to eat the grass. And every single group of sheep has somebody with them and just watching over them. We like to call them shepherds. But a lot of it's really cool what these sheep do. They go from area to area, and they're only worried about two things. They're worried about eating, and they're worried about listening to their shepherd, because their shepherd makes sure that they're in the right place at the right time. The shepherd has to be with them at all times. He has to know each one of their sheep. He has to know how many sheep he has. He has to basically know them by name, because his job is to make sure he lays down his life for these sheep. Though us humans are not sheep, we don't look like sheep, and we don't smell like sheep most of the time, but we do somewhat have a lot of common in the way that we act in sheep. A lot of the times we have a tendency to wander. We have a lot of things that are good and pure and nice and good, and sometimes for some reason we have a tendency to just wander from where we came from or what is good in the first place. We have a tendency to be owned or directed by someone or something. We have so many different things in our life that are telling us what to do at all times. It's through TV, it's through everything, where people are telling us, you know, you need to buy this, you need to go here, you need to go on vacation here, you need to hang out with this people, you need to not hang out with this people, you need to say this, this is in, this is out. And there's so many different things that are around us that are telling us what to do. But the greatest thing that we have in common with sheep is that we have a shepherd that loves and cares for us and absolutely wants to get to know us. I believe that this verse is just a list of what needs to happen in order for us to be in Jesus' pen as he describes. We must listen to his voice. When we read the word, or we pray, or we're going to into his presence in worship, we need to remember that the point of the mirror is not for us to grumble and complain about what we see, but it is for us to focus on what is supposed to be, which is holiness. The purpose of the mirror is for us to look into it and understand that the standard of what we're looking at is holiness and pure. It's not for us to get mad like the Jews, where they picked up and wanted to stone Jesus. That wasn't the point of Jesus coming to earth. The point of him to come to this earth was to show, look, I am the standard of what you're supposed to be, and please follow me so that you can become pure once again. There are so many different voices. There are so many different voices that are coming in all the time, like I said earlier. There's people telling us what to do, what to say, what not to say. There's so many different things, what to buy, what not to buy. But if we understand holiness and we understand what is pure, which is Jesus, we know his voice. And when the Lord calls, we know that we should follow him, because we know what holiness looks like. When reading the scripture, I see that there's an expectation and an invitation. when it comes to the relationship with God, but none of this is possible without grace. Because without grace, we can never live up to Jesus' expectations. If the expectation enough is living a holy and blameless life like Jesus explained in this passage, then we're all going towards death. But thanks be to God for a good shepherd, that Jesus, who says this, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands." If you guys would stand and worship with us.